Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the DTA podcast. Today, Mimi is joining me because today we're talking about getting sexy, okay? Okay, not quite. We're talking about glowing up physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because in my opinion, they all go hand in hand. And I'm really excited to talk about all this today because it's just one of my favorite topics as of late. The last like year or two, I've been super into self-development, bettering oneself, and I've consumed a lot of this kind of content. So not only will I be speaking from personal experience, like what has worked for me, but I'll also be able to share a lot of stuff that I've seen in other podcasts or videos or content like this. But I'm not just going to regurgitate whatever they say. I'm only going to tell you the stuff that is either proven or that I've tried and is good and has worked for me. I was also so excited because this was one of the topics that resonated the most with you guys. So it sounded like you guys wanted to hear about it, which, yeah, just makes me even happier to chat about it. I also wanted to preface by saying that you can have a glow up at any age. It is never, quote unquote, too late for someone, like genuinely ever. But I do want to say, if you're really young, like, you know, still in your preteens or teens, the puberty years and your body's changing, I just want you to know, like, there's still so much change coming ahead of you and so much time for you to worry or focus on glowing up. When you're that young, please just focus on your studies, having fun, spending time with friends, finding yourself. Please don't worry too much about your external appearance. I just wanted to say that because I know at least I'm really grateful that growing up, especially in high school, like sure, I thought about how I looked, but I wasn't overly focused on it to the point that I was missing out on other parts of my life. And just in case that's anybody out there, I wanted to say, enjoy your life. You're so young, okay?
But if you're older, bitch, let's get our shit together. Not quite, but also yes. Okay.
Also, I wasn't going to mention this, but I saw this on my nightstand when I sat down to record this. If you can see, this is a notebook that I started writing in a year ago, maybe a year and a half, but I think only a year ago. And I titled it Upgrade Dot. I put a goddamn period. I said upgrade period. And I highly recommend doing something like this. This journal is not really my day-to-day journal. This journal is only about tracking and recording my self-development, habits, chapters of my life, things that I want to work on. I've even kind of dubbed it as like different phases, like, oh, this phase I'm focusing on getting in the gym, I'm focusing on getting my health right, I'm focusing on getting a better sleep schedule. And once I get those things down pat, then I open up basically another phase or chapter of the journal. And it helps not only hold me accountable because I'm writing it down and I'm checking it reoccurringly, but also it helps you look back and realize, wow, 6 months ago, you know, maybe I wasn't exercising at all, but now I have a pretty good routine, or at least I'm getting some walks in, or I'm doing this and I'm focusing on another thing. So you're noting your progress and keeping track of everything. And I really, really recommend it. Okay. All of that aside, for today's episode, I'm breaking it up into two large sections. One is going to focus on your mental. So things like confidence, discipline, happiness. And then the second part is going to focus on the physical, the outwardness, how you look, your body, your face, your style, those more, I guess, stereotypical ways of glowing up. Please don't skip out on the mental part, because to me, a physical glow up without a mental glow up is nothing really. Like, and it probably won't last. Even if you like look better, if your mind and your attitude isn't there to back it or isn't there to make you a well-rounded person, it's kind of shallow or superficial. I want you guys to genuinely level up in every aspect of your life because then you really see how intertwined they are. Also, some of these tips for your mental are what's going to keep you repeating good habits that are then going to help you kind of level up physically. Otherwise, like, sure, you could go to the gym every freaking day for a month and look better by the end of the month, but then you're just going to burn yourself out, you're going to be exhausted, and you're probably going to give up, right? So I think slow, gradual, consistent progress is what lasts the best. And the last thing before I begin, I'm already calling this like part one of a glow up series because I feel like I could talk about this for so long, but I think it's best if we keep it brief and organized and really focused on, you know, certain topics every time I kind of dive into self-development and improving oneself. Today, we will be kind of hitting the most important and fundamental parts, all right? Chapter one, your mental. Yeah, baby, what's up here? Because it's important. It's important, you know? I always used to say, like, if I were to lose everything and I can only keep one thing, I would keep my mind. Because I feel like when you have a good mindset, when you got a good brain, you can accomplish anything, genuinely. You can accomplish anything. But if you think you can't accomplish shit, you're not gonna accomplish shit. First, like by some magic, that's how that works. So to me, the reason your mental is so important is because of how much you can achieve just with the right mindset. So for example, let's say you were to get plastic surgery. Let's say you were to just, boom, like look like a societal 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 by society standards, okay? But if up here you're still sad or insecure or you don't know how to develop good habits, one, you're probably still going to be sad, unfortunately. And two, your bad habits will only lessen however good you look at any time. Whereas if you have the right mindset, then you know that you can glow up and you can improve also at any time because you'll know how to build those good habits. You'll be confident in your own ability to progress in whatever area of your life. I think if there's one thing that I love about myself is I am very confident. Some might call it delusional, but I'm very confident in my sense of improving at anything. Like, I feel like if you give me enough time to get better at anything, I can do it. And that's only because I've proven that to myself over the years. And I think that's the main takeaway from school. I know there's a lot of debate around the validity of school and how different people have different learning styles, et cetera, et cetera. And I agree with those points. But one thing that I think is important that you should learn from going to school is the mastery of any skill or topic or subject. The fundamental idea that if you put in enough time and effort into anything, you can improve. And it is not at all contingent on how naturally good you are at something. And it has so much more to do with the time and effort that you put in. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of like the 10,000 hours theory, which I can't properly recite off the top of my head, but it's along the idea of like you become a master at something once you put 10,000 hours in. The amount of people that I come across that are just like, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm just not good at it, especially in regards to video games, especially people who are casual. They're just like, oh, no, yeah, like I suck. You're so good, but you know, like I'll never be good. I'm like, girl, I've been playing games 10 plus years. Of course. I'm decent at them, but it makes me sad to hear that because I'm like, oh, what other aspects of your life are you not pursuing to your fullest extent just because you think, oh, I can never be good at that? Do you think Olympians were good the first day that they played whatever sport. No, it's all about progressing and building that confidence in yourself. I went on a bit of a tangent, but the first thing that I wanted to talk about in regards to mental is your confidence. I can do a whole episode on confidence, but let me kind of just give you the cheat sheet right now. The number one way to build confidence, which, mind you, I define a little bit differently than self-esteem. To me, confidence is how much you trust your ability to do anything and how much you trust yourself. To build confidence, you need to build trust in yourself. The best example I can give you is, let's say you had a friend and your friend would tell you, oh, let's go to the gym tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., okay? And then 8 a.m. the next morning rolls around, guess who's not at the gym? Guess who's asleep till noon in their bed? Your friend. And then they're like, whoa, wait, no, I'll meet you next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Next Wednesday, 9 a.m., they're still not there. They're flaky. They're inconsistent. How would you feel about that friend? You'd probably feel a little whatever about them. Like, yeah, they're there sometimes and kind of not sometimes. You wouldn't have much confidence in them. So how do you build confidence with yourself? Like literally split yourself into two and build that confidence with yourself like a relationship by showing up for yourself. When you say that you want to do something or that you're gonna do something, do it. And the more you do that, the more you show yourself, oh, not only when I say I'm gonna go to the gym tomorrow morning at 10, I actually do it, but I do it consistently and I see progress and I create a positive feedback loop of showing myself that I can do this and I keep doing it. And you know, I improve week over week, month over month. Oh, it's hard not to be confident in yourself when you see that and when you feel it. So essentially, you not only when you practice these things, when you promise yourself something and you show up for yourself, not only will you reap like the rewards, the fruits of your labor. I think the gym is really the easiest example. If you were to do that, not only will you look and be healthier, but you will also have better confidence in yourself and a better sense of self. It's like you're double winning in that regard. I think that's my favorite thing about the process of building that confidence. You reap so many rewards in so many ways. And I think it really, really revolutionized my way of seeing and thinking of confidence when I broke it down this way. It's really the trust that you build with yourself. Okay. Plus, you can be confident about the things that you suck at as well. So what I mean by this is straight up write a list of the things that you like about yourself and the things that you don't like about yourself and the things that you want to work on and the things that you're actively working on. And when you do this, and when you can tell yourself, yeah, you know what? I'm not great at communicating, but I'd like to be. And that's something that I will work on either now in therapy or once I free up some time, I will, you know, work on it XYZ ways. When you do that, you become so much more of a secure human being because no one can use any flaws or insecurities you might have against you. If someone were to tell you, oh my God, like you weren't able to express yourself well at all, like that made no sense, or can you communicate with me? Hello. Instead of that hurting you to your core, because you already have done this practice, you will know yourself so well. You'll be like, yeah, I'm sorry, that's not something that I'm great at, but I'm working on it and I hope to improve. And then boom, all of that guilt, that shame, that negative feeling, that insecurity, it just washes off of your back. But you can only do that when you are confident in your strengths and your weaknesses. So all in all, confidence is very much a practice of getting to know yourself and liking yourself as well. the last point that I want to say with this is please, 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 no more negative self-talk. Just no more, okay? No more negative self-talk. Because our thoughts, how we talk, and what we think, how we talk, like it goes from our mind to our hearts, out of our mouths, to our reality, like genuinely. For example, imagine someone who wakes up every morning, looks in the mirror and says, oh, I look terrible. Over time, what do you think their perception of themselves will be? Do you think that they will magically start thinking that they look good? Girl, no. If you tell yourself the same thing day in and day out, that becomes your reality. Not necessarily that you might end up looking worse over time. I mean, you might, but hopefully not. But more so, like, your perception, how you view something, is your reality. If you perceive yourself negatively, that's your reality. If something happens to you, but you view it positively, it's a positive thing. The same thing can happen to someone else. They might view it negatively and it becomes a negative thing. This is less so the idea of like, oh, what you say becomes the truth. It's just about understanding how your brain and how perception works, okay? I'm not saying if you say $1 million every day, $1 million will show up at your door. I feel like people speak about manifestation in that way, and it often will rub people the wrong way because they're like, that's dumb. Like, that makes no fucking sense. And on one hand, I get it. Like, if I say a blue Lamborghini for the next week, is there going to be a blue Lambo at my door? Maybe. No, there probably won't. But, like, the real truth or the real benefit of the idea, quote unquote, of manifestation, or that your words become reality, is just about perception. So for example, if you have a friend in your life and every time you see them, you're like, wow, they're so pretty. They're so beautiful. I love their nose. I love their eyebrows. I love their, and like you focus on these little features about them that you really like every single time you see them. I bet you if one day they wound up at your door, hungover, tired, sick, whatever, you would still look at them and be like, oh my God, you still look so cute, you're fine. Because you've conditioned your perception to think positively about this person. Why not do that about yourself? Next up, and this is a very important part of the mental. And listen, some of y'all aren't gonna wanna hear this, but don't shoot the messenger, okay? A big thing that you need to do before being able to evolve and grow as a person is dealing with your past experiences and your past traumas. And I don't want to say this in a way to minimize it, like, oh, just deal with it. Just deal with your trauma. Easy peasy. I know it's not easy, but if we don't do that, either one, it's going to act like a blockage or almost like a ball and chain to your leg, keeping you from taking steps forward, or every step you take is going to feel so hard. That's because something's holding you back. Or two, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass down the road. And these things, these traumas, these experiences that can hold us back, it can be a tough experience we went through. It can be something that changed fundamentally our perspective of ourselves and maybe made it more negative, or even someone in our lives that's bringing us down. But until we can really face these things head on and acknowledge them for what they are and either work on them or even just say like, hey, I'm aware of this. And while I try to better myself, I will work on this at the same time. The great thing about this part is that you don't need to be 100% healed in order to glow up or to grow as a person. You just need to be aware of these things and how they impact you. And even if you're just going to therapy once a month, or even if you're just journaling about it daily, however you're working on it is good enough as long as you're aware of it and you're progressing. And then you can still continue to evolve. But if you're just setting all of these things aside and you're like, I'm fine. I think it's very easy for us to pretend like we're fine when we are not. And I think there's a lot of kind of like self-care talk, in my opinion, that's frankly a bit shallow. This might be one of my hottest takes, but I think a lot of self-care is bullshit. Like, sure, it feels nice to take a bath or get my nails done, but sometimes it feels like I'm putting a Band-Aid fix on a massive, gaping wound, okay? Like, if I just went through something traumatic or terrible and I'm not dealing with it properly, taking one bath, or the amount of money that it takes me to get my nails done, or go on a shopping spree that might feel a little therapeutic, or buy a bunch of bath bombs or products to lather up and think that I'm feeling better, I could have put all that money towards a few therapy sessions that could actually help me fix myself from like the inside out. I feel like there's a deeper form of self-care that is equally as important as these little things that do make us feel better, because we do still deserve to take a bath to relax, or, you know, have some wine and watch a TV show and relax for the rest of our evening, because that kind of self-care is really nice, but it's not the only kind of self-care. And it's also not the most impactful, especially not long-term. In line with that, I think finding stability and peace spiritually can be so important on any sort of journey to evolve and become a better version of yourself. And what I mean by this is, as you guys know, I will never shove a religion down your throats. Never. I don't really want to shove anything down anyone's throat. Anyways, what I'm talking about is the idea of karma. I'm sure you guys have heard of karma, whether you believe in it or not. It's not my point. My point is just the idea of when we do good things, it's like we put good out into the world. When we do bad things, in a way, we're putting out bad into the world as well. And sometimes when we hurt people, that hurt stays with us as much as it's staying with them. And sometimes these are things we need to confront, whether it's the section before that I mentioned, something bad that happened to you, or something bad that you did to someone else. Whether you want to atone for this in whatever spiritual or religious way that you wanna go to a confessional booth, whatever you want to do, or if you want to talk to someone and have a certain kind of conversation that you know you've been putting off and that you know has been sitting in the back of your mind, ultimately, all of these things are to make sure that you're good with you. That's the most important thing. I also, in this part about mental, wanted to chat a little bit about happiness and your general sense of contentment. For starters, I want to say I'm obviously not a therapist or psychiatrist. I'm not going to pretend like I can fix everyone and make everybody happy or pretend that happiness is like an easy solve. It's very, very different from person to person, and different things might be impacting our happiness. But I do want to take a minute to just talk about gratitude and how important gratitude is to a baseline level of contentment. And to me, the way I view gratitude is not just being like, oh, I'm grateful for my cats and to be alive once. And then you're like, oh, why don't I feel this way every day? Gratitude has to be cultivated. It's like a seed that you plant and you water and you water and you water and you water. And then someday you're like, wait, when someone does something nice for me, I feel it to the depths of my core. I appreciate it to the depths of my core. And if you're living life like very shallow, or you're not thinking about these things, then you won't feel it in that way. And how you get there is by practicing gratitude like a muscle every single day, whether you want to journal about things that you're grateful about, or however you want to develop that practice. I think it can really, really, really make you a much happier person long term. And aside from that, again, I'm not going to pretend I can tell you guys the easy one-step way to get happy, but I really recommend the book, The Happiness Hypothesis, if this is something that you struggle with. It goes over so many scientific and religious learnings about how to find happiness and things that have just been really tried and true, proven over time, over decades, if not centuries, because yeah, happiness is sometimes found under the right circumstances, and sometimes it's something we really need to work for. So I hope that if that's something you struggle with, that book might help, or anything else that we mentioned today. My next point is kind of going to be the transition between the mental chapter and the physical chapter. And it just kind of applies to both, but We all know that when it comes to your mind or your body, there are basics, fundamentals, the things that you hear everybody talk about.
But there's a reason you hear everybody talk about them.
And when you get these down, oh my God, your life is gonna change. The basics are, of course, sleep, nutrition, and exercise, or some form of movement. I think exercise can be such a yucky word. Like, is it just me? Exercise is like, oh, you're making me do a chore. I have to go exercise. But let me give you guys like a legit, just a cheat sheet for all of this, okay? And this took me maybe 2 years to really get down pat. So bitch, I'm expediting a lot of time for you. So just listen to me. I'm gonna give you guys the basics, a basic routine that you can 100% do. It's not super hard. I'm not putting you on a 5-day-a-week program, just some really easy things that will really have you understanding why sleep, nutrition, and exercise make such a big difference, okay? I'm gonna shut up and just tell you the cheat sheet, okay? Wake up, and as soon as you wake up, go outside. For at least 10 minutes, go on a 10-minute minimum walk. If some days you want to do more, beautiful. Chef's kiss, do that. 10-minute walk in the morning. And the reason why I suggest this is because if you get sunlight in your eyes at the beginning of the day, it really, really helps not only make your mood better, but it helps set your circadian rhythm. And please don't stare in the sun like this. Okay, to just get sunlight in our eyes means that we are outside and sun is reflecting off of all these surfaces and it's going into our eyes. It unfortunately does not work through windows, so don't think you can just stay inside and look out of a window. Just go out for a 10-minute walk, okay? After a week or two, I promise you, you will notice that you're sleeping so much better because your circadian rhythm is being set at the beginning of every day. And it kind of tells your body like, oh, in however many hours now I need to start producing melatonin, so it can make it easier to sleep. Okay, so wake up, 10-minute walk. Throughout the day, for nutrition, just try to remember this, the 80-20 rule. 80% of the food that you eat, try to have it be from whole foods. So it's not about eliminating, I can't eat meat, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. Whole foods. And you can look up exactly what is or isn't a whole food, but it's about keeping it minimally processed. So let's say broccoli, apples, you can have meat, that's a whole food. Chicken, beef, a sweet potato, cut it up, cook it however you want, season it however you want, just in general, whole foods. Like, you can look at the food and you know exactly what's in it and what it's made of, and that's all. And then 20% indulge, enjoy yourself. I think when we put ourselves on such strict diets, like, our lives are not meant to be that way. We're human beings. We hang out with our friends. We go out. We want to have fun. So keeping in mind this like 80-20 balance is really, really gonna help prevent any sort of like binging or working really hard then fully giving up or, you know, any sort of those bad balances. For me, it has worked tremendously. And then throughout the week, just pick one form of, I'm not gonna say exercise, let's say movement. Movement is cute and fun. Pick a form of movement that you enjoy. That's the key. Something that you enjoy, whether that's tennis or rock climbing or going on walks. Or if you sometimes like working out, figure out how to make those workouts fun for you. Start off by just doing exercises you like, or take a fun class, or go somewhere with a friend. Make a workout playlist that you enjoy of music that you like. For example, for me, you guys know I love, love, love going on walks. I like getting my 10K steps in. But when I go on a walk, I don't force myself to do it at a time that's inconvenient to me. I also am not just walking outside, staring at the cement, thinking about how I need to clean my toenails or something. You know, like, I pick podcasts that I like or music. I call a friend. You know, like I'm going on these walks and doing things at the same time that I enjoy so that I want to keep going on walks. That's how you really ingrain good habits into your life, by making them frictionless and fun. Make it easy for yourself. And then before bed, take a magnesium supplement. Magnesium, oh my God. Honestly, if you're gonna try magnesium supplement for the first time, try to do it on a weekend where you can sleep in, because you might just sleep like 12 hours. And you will need to do a bit of research into which ones are best. Any supplement you use, please get one that's third-party tested so that you know it's actually legit. Also, anything that I suggest, especially in the form of supplements or health advice, of course, always consult a physician or a doctor or someone who's licensed, unlike me. I ain't licensed, girl. before you do it, but I am mainly, of course, sharing my experience and what has really helped. So let's go over the routine real quick. Wake up, 10-minute walk, sunlight in your eyes. Throughout the day, keep in mind 80-20 rule, 80% whole foods, 20% enjoy yourself, and at least once throughout the week, schedule something, some form of movement. If you can do 2 or 3 times, that's great, but start where it's comfortable, and I promise you at some point, you're gonna get an itch for it. You're gonna be like, you know what? I wanna go on another walk. I wanna go play tennis again. You know what? I'm free. I kinda wanna go to the gym. Because you made it enjoyable for yourself the first time. Okay? Okay. That's my little cheat sheet. And a lot of this is backed by science. I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything, but I will likely link some things down below. A lot of the advice that I give also comes from Andrew Huberman's podcast. So if you want even more information, listen to that. Now, let's just get into the physical. That's right. Let's get sexy. I'm going to just talk about so many things that I feel have improved the way that I look, but I think it's important to just say, you know, everything that I list moving forward, it all comes back to the idea of looking healthy. So many glow up tips that people are going to give you, white strips, you know, go to the gym, do this, do that. For what features? To be in shape, to have whiter teeth, to have healthier hair. And what are all of these signs? They are signs of health. So you have to keep in mind, a lot of quote unquote glowing up or bettering yourself is just about either being or appearing healthy. And I say appearing because yeah, in some instances, it's hard to showcase that. For example, even our teeth. We drink coffee. I love my matcha. Foods nowadays are more processed, so our teeth probably do get stained easier or more often. So we'll use white strips. That's a bit of like a shortcut or a hack, right? But for example, for your body, a healthy body is always going to be attractive. And we'll use that as kind of the first section. I could not feel more strongly about the fact that it's not about being thin or having a certain size of a body. Okay, I hate that kind of rhetoric. Lose weight, skinny, skinny. People can look good genuinely at any size. My preferred terminology is being in shape, because I'm sure you can imagine people that are similar sizes, but one is in shape and one maybe doesn't take care of themselves as well as they could. I do think in most content like this, people will tell you, oh, like just lower your body fat percentage. And I think for a lot of people, that is likely helpful. Even for me, I thought I was healthy at certain points of my life. And then I got one of those like breakdown weight calculations and realized that my body fat percentage was way too high. Even if I looked okay, as soon as not even necessarily losing weight, losing body fat percentage and gaining muscle, which is not just always about weight loss. It's about fat loss and muscle gain that will always make you look healthier, feel stronger. It really probably is the number one thing physically that you can do. Gain a little bit of muscle, get a little bit more active. You don't need to become super buff or anything like that. And also, do keep in mind, this is different for everybody. Depending on where you're coming at this from, depending on what a doctor might suggest, on your weight, your history, your everything, I don't like to give like a one size fits all. Some people just want more muscle. Some people do want to lose weight. All in all, regular movement, regular exercise, being in shape, strong, fit, is just going to be sexy no matter what. Okay, and that can be done at any size. Don't think you need to change your whole body or your body type to do that. Nope, you don't. Oh, but okay, I need to move less because I keep booming the mic when I do that. I'm just so excited. I do have a secret tip and hack for either losing weight or maintaining your weight that I've never shared before. And that has worked kind of wonders for me personally. And it is none other than berberine. If you haven't heard of berberine, it is a supplement. I'm sure you guys have heard of Ozempic. It's like the latest fad medicine and drug to use to lose weight. But I'm of the mind that we should not be using or abusing medicines and drugs in order to lose weight, especially if we don't need them, because there are always repercussions and side effects. But berberine is almost like a light version of that. It is something that helps you manage and maintain your blood glucose levels. And essentially what it's going to do is, because it helps you manage your blood sugar levels, the spikes and falls, it's not like, oh, I'm going to take this pill and I'm going to lose weight. It's, I'm going to take this supplement, and because of that, and because of the ways that it's managing your blood sugar levels, you have less cravings. You have less, oh, like, I need more, I want more, because your blood sugar levels are balanced. I also think eating a lot of whole foods has helped me in that regard as well, because when you're eating whole foods instead of processed foods, you're less likely to have these spikes of sugar levels. And I know everybody just talks about calories, 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 but I think that rhetoric is kind of bullshit. Like, yes, understanding how many calories are in something is important, but it's just as important how much sugar there is, how processed it is. Is it something that, okay, it might make me less hungry now, but I'm going to be really hungry in 2 hours? Or can I just eat like a really nutritious whole meal of whole foods that's going to keep me full for 6 hours? Those differences really, really stack up over time. And for me, I found that all of this together with the supplement, with the nutrition, there are times where, like, I haven't been at the gym in 3-4 weeks. I've been traveling or out eating kind of naughty, and I expect myself to have gained a lot of weight. And then I realize, oh, I just haven't. So I can tell it has made so, so, so much of a difference. And I'm so grateful. Actually, not too long ago, I posted a TikTok and someone was like, it's so obvious you're on Ozempic. And I was like, thank you, babes. But now you guys know my secret. Don't tell anyone. Berberine is OP. But again, speak to a doctor before you take anything. And don't take shit supplements. There are a lot of shit supplements, like shit supplement brands. Not a supplement that is shit in the supplement, but it's a bad version of berberine. That's what I mean. Okay. Let's talk about skin, because, well, skin is a sensitive and complicated topic, but I think we can all agree it is pretty strongly tied to our confidence and our self-esteem, unfortunately. And so if you're struggling with your skin, for starters, I just want to say, I feel for you and I feel you. Like, I've been there. Sometimes I get back there, you know, sometimes I break out. And we have to accept, on some level, we're human. We're going to get pimples now and then. Let's not get too, you know, uptight about it. But if you're struggling with this, I also just want you to know, no one notices your skin as much as you do, and no one cares as much as you do, which is a really, really good thing. And here's a great exercise to really drill this into your mind, okay? Think about the last time that you saw someone's skin and you thought it was really bad. Go. 3, 2, 1. Could you even think of anything? I legit cannot remember the last time I thought about someone else's skin. Frankly, most human beings are so self-absorbed. We have so many things we're fucking thinking about and worrying about. If we see your skin, it's not that great. We'll be like, oh, they have a pimple. Okay, moving on. Even if your skin, oh, they have a lot of pimples. Moving on. It's just not something anyone else really gives a fuck about, okay? And I'm not saying this to downplay your feelings. Your feelings are so fucking valid, okay? They really are. Like, skin troubles do impact us a lot. But you can still really try to remember, hey, no one else is thinking about this as much as me. And hopefully that helps you kind of forget about it a little bit day to day while you're taking steps to remedy whatever it is, right? Also, if anyone does like call you out on your skin or makes you feel bad about it, why would you want to be around them? Like, imagine someone being like, oh, I don't want to be around them. They don't have good, clear skin. Like, they have a pimple or two or three. I'd be like, girl, I don't want to be around you. You got a stinky attitude. I smell it from here. Blech. No, but seriously, it's stupid. It's so... If anyone cares about that, you don't want to be their friend more than they might not want to be your friend. And if they don't want to be your friend, they're fucking lost. They're probably a shallow, poopy head. I'm trying really hard not to swear. Can you tell? So, yes. Also, for skin... I hope no one is here trying, like hoping that I'm going to drop my skincare routine. I will someday, but I'm not going to do it in this episode because I think it's irresponsible a little bit to recommend products for everyone. The biggest skincare advice I can give you is only take advice either one from a dermatologist or two from someone that you know has the same skin type as you. The amount of money that I've wasted on products that are meant for someone else's skin type. There are products that I've bought that people rave about online. I try, breaks me the F out. Why? Because it's meant for a different skin type. Like, that's going to make the biggest difference. It's not one product is just good for everyone. But the one product that is good for everyone, actually, sunscreen. Even then, there's going to be a sunscreen that's better or worse for you that might break you out. But the above advice, and number two, sunscreen. Sunscreen. And I know you might be thinking, well, I have a pimple. I don't want to put sunscreen on my spots. I don't want to put sunscreen on fucking everything. Okay? Because it helps those pimples, acne scars, everything. Everything. Por favor. Thank you. My last point for the skincare section, if you can either save up or if you have the funds to even go see a dermatologist once, that's probably better than watching 50 TikToks on skincare, because probably 40 of those 50 don't even apply to you or your skin. That's my, yeah. There's just so much bullshit out there. Next up, and this one is for sure gonna include one of my favorite how to look hot hacks, okay? Have you noticed that how pretty someone's eyes are isn't always about the actual color of their eyes? Like, they can have pretty brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, any color eyes. But what will always make eyes pretty is very white whites. But sometimes the whites of our eyes can get more red or more yellow for many reasons, whether that's like drinking too much, drugs, smoking, not sleeping enough, screen time, a lot of different things. But I have one secret shortcut that works so damn well. The Lumify Redness Relief Eye Drops. I use these all the time before a special event or a photo shoot. I don't use them every day because I figure it's maybe not good to use those kinds of eye drops every day. But oh my God, they make the whites of your eyes. Girl, it looks like a soft boiled egg. Like, you're going to look like a manga character, like a freaking anime eyes, okay? They, like, it's incredible the difference that it makes. And if you ever try these, then you'll really be able to tell, like, whoa, how white the whites of someone's eyes are is what makes the biggest difference. And it's such a sign of health that we're not always very conscious of. Next, supplements. Before I tell you what I recommend, I want to say you should get your blood work done 100% if you can, and if you can afford it. And then you should take supplements that you need, because you might need iron. I don't really take iron supplements because I don't really need them. But the four things that I'm going to recommend are ones that most people are deficient in. One, vitamin D. Girl, vitamin D can make you happier. Did you know that? Literally happier. Okay, get some vitamin D, magnesium at night to help you sleep better. Yes, most people are also deficient in magnesium. Turmeric is great for inflammation, for skin, for a few different things. And as I said before, berberine that I like for weight management. Those are the only things that I'm going to recommend. And even then, you should make sure that there are supplements that suit you and that are good for you. Next up, let's talk about clothes, fit, style, much more physical appearance things, because the difference that a good outfit can make is shocking. It's shocking, okay? The fundamentals of dressing well are, one, knowing your body type, okay? If you need to go online and look at all the different body types and break it down, then do that, okay? For me, for example, I'm a pear shape because genetically I store most of my fat in my lower half. But there are a lot of other details that can help you figure out what clothes look best on you, how broad your shoulders are, what kind of necklines suit you the most. There are so many things. That's why I was so glad I got a color analysis, because I got to find out what colors look good on me, what clothes look good on me, what cuts of shirts look good on me, so many different things. And I know it can be really, really hard to decipher on our own, or you might look at these guides and be like, I don't really know what I am. So let me give you another hack. Okay, you have so much information. You have the key to looking better and you don't even know it yet. And that key is in your closet. Mm-hmm. Go to your closet and try to pick out all the things that you like wearing. Don't look at your closet as it is, because we all know there are certain clothes that we're way more drawn to and certain clothes that just sit there and like we want to wear them, but for some reason it never really works. I'm going to tell you that reason, okay? So go in there, take out all of the clothes that you like or that you feel good in or that you wear consistently, lay them out on the ground and start noticing some patterns, okay? You'll probably recognize, oh, I look good in light blue. Oh, I look good in dark pink. You'll recognize patterns not only in colors of the clothing that you wear, but also you might recognize, oh, I wear a lot of A-line skirts. Speaking for myself, I wear a lot of high-waisted pants. Write all of this down in a list. And then if you go back to these body type guides, you'll probably see like they usually recommend that pear-shaped women wear skirts that are A-line or high-waisted pants. Oh, maybe I am that because of the things that suit me. Does that make sense? Like, I'm basically trying to teach you how to reverse engineer this. But even if you don't figure out like your exact body type, just looking at the clothes that you gravitate towards the most will likely tell you what colors look the best on you, what cuts look the best on you, etc. Quick tip specifically for the boysies, if you haven't yet, try more cropped fits. Of course, I'm not talking about a crop top, but you can rock a crop top. Like, some guys look hot in crop tops. But especially if you're not 6'2", okay? If you're 5 foot something, dude, a cropped top, it's gonna make you basically look 6 foot. Or it'll just make you look so stylish. And for some reason, when you take into consideration your proportions when putting together an outfit, when a guy goes for a little bit slightly cropped shirt instead of like the full length and with like nice fitted pants, Like, it looks so well put together. It looks so impressive. It looks so stylish and clean just because you're doing one thing that's slightly different. Another kind of hack or shortcut for this in that same vein, just do one little thing that's a little bit different consistently. For example, wearing jewelry. If you wear jewelry every day, just adding one little detail to your outfit, it can go such a long way to making you look better. If you recognize, oh, I look really good in vests. If you wear vests frequently, boom, like your style is just elevated because there's one thing about you that stands out or that is kind of quote unquote like you, your style. Or picking a pair of glasses, not just your regular black frame glasses, but glasses that are a little bit different, but that you know look good on you. And that's like your unique accessory specific to you. People will notice that 100%. Also, a good haircut. A good haircut can change your life, okay? Have you guys seen those videos, TikToks, reels of barbershops who, respectfully, they will take guys from looking like a 5 to looking like an 8.5 with one good haircut? Mm-hmm. And you can do the same. Why not? Anyone can look so much better with the right haircut, but you need to find a hairstylist who is good with that kind of thing and who has a good eye. Or you need to be able to figure out for yourself what might suit you and then go in with that kind of image particularly in mind. Be like, do this and don't mess it up. And if you don't do this, we're gonna have a problem. Because we know how hairstylists sometimes just like to do their own fucking thing. Why do they do that? Anyways, yes, a hairstyle can change your whole life. Another kind of shortcut you can do here is just by getting a hairstyle that's trendy. Because there are kind of different things that are just trendy or not. And if you do get one that's trendy, most people will like it anyways. I think the one thing that I want to say to kind of round out this portion, style inspo. Mm-hmm. Fake it till you make it. Learn from someone else, but you need to set yourself up for success to do that. And let me explain. I will often see people get like quote unquote style inspo from someone who looks nothing like them. Okay. If I may really love a model that is 6 feet tall and blonde with blue eyes and who has a more slim rectangular figure, I may love the way that she looks, but she can never be my style inspo because our body types, our hair color, our skin tone, our heights are completely different. If you want to revolutionize your style and you maybe don't know where to start, just find a celebrity or someone who looks good that has similar features that you do and then just take inspiration from them. Build outfits like them. Choose color palettes like them if they have a similar skin tone or hair color as you. That is like the ultimate hack. I know I keep saying hack, but that's really what these are. Like shit that I've tried and done and I'm just telling you what works only. I'm skipping the bullshit so you can skip the bullshit. Save some time. I hope to save you guys some time. But yeah, set yourself up for success. Pick the right style inspo. Thank you very much. Oh my God, we are nearing the 1 hour mark. So let me speed through these last few things. Good posture. Like look at me like this versus if I was talking to you like this. And like my shoulders were super rounded. Good posture is going to make you look hot. You can do postural exercises every day. You can every now and then try to look at yourself in the mirror. One really helpful tip to remember is imagine that there's a string going from the top of your head to like, you know, the middle of your hips to your feet, and then try to straighten out that string. Ta-da! Or try to stack your head, your hips, and your feet on the same line. Okay? Posture is key. Whitening your teeth. Or just appearing to have white teeth. White teeth just kind of like signal oral health or like I'm eating healthy things. That's why my teeth are white and good. Even though that's absolutely not the case nowadays, but just fake it with some Crest 3D white strips. Those are the ones to get. Don't even bother with anything else. if any dentists are listening, please don't hate me, but don't even fucking bother going in office. Seriously, just do Crest 3D white strips. And another tip, if you want them to last twice as long and not make your teeth sensitive at all, something I've started doing, which, ugh, I'm in love with this tip. So you know how you regularly get white strips and there's the top portion and the bottom portion, and then you'll put it on and kind of fold it under your teeth? Well, that actually causes you to be whitening and sensitizing the bottom of your teeth and the underside of your teeth. But the bottom of your teeth and the back of your teeth, they don't really need to be white. So instead, trim the white strip, the top and the bottom, in half, and use half of the top and half of the bottom. And oh my God, that way you're just whitening the front, you're less likely for your teeth to be sensitive, and you can use the white strips for twice as long. Because instead of having like a 30 pack, you're basically creating like a 60 pack of white strips. It's so OP. One quick tip about white strips that I forgot to mention is if you feel like they've never really worked for you, the likely reason why, which I only learned recently, is that you need to put them on dry teeth. I know that probably sounds so weird, but if your teeth are too wet, apparently like the whitening agent doesn't really work. So just pat your teeth with the tissue before applying them. And I promise you, you're going to see a difference within using them like even a couple times. I can't wait for you guys to hopefully utilize some of these tips. And then I'm going to do like a meet and greet and everybody's just going to have the shiniest, whitest teeth ever. And I'm going to slay. I'm so proud of you guys. But I love giving advice that will hopefully help you guys in some way, maybe make you more confident in some way. That would make me very happy. Oh, wait, before I pass the whitening teeth point. Tanning your skin kind of has the same result as whitening your teeth. Because how white your teeth are is really just in contrast to your skin. And girl, I'm not telling you to go tanning and come out looking like a different race. Please don't do that. That's weird. Okay, but if you want to get a bit of color, like a light spray tan or an at-home little tanner or something, that will also make your teeth whiter. Just saying. And with teeth, if you have any sort of dental issues, getting those fixed, you might be shocked by how much it impacts how good you look. Like, go to a dentist, go to an orthodontist, especially if you have an underbite or an overbite, it actually affects the shape of your face. For me, I really struggled with TMJ, grinding my teeth, and I had to have my entire bite fixed like a year or two ago, and my face slimmed down so much. Like, it's shocking. My face literally got smaller because I fixed my teeth. So highly, highly recommend that, and making sure that your oral health is A1, because stinky breath is also not cute. I'm not gonna lie. Floss them teethies, okay? Last but not least, in this little subsection, mewing, which is basically holding your tongue to the top of your mouth. You can look up videos on this. I know it sounds a little crazy, a little looks maxy, but mewing really does work. You just, otherwise, like, your jaw kind of goes down. And if you practice that a bit, it will kind of like carve out your jawline a little bit. And it's also just good for like your mouth posture. That's a real thing. Like, I went through all of this when I was getting my bite fixed, straight up. Some other things, this is just if someone's feeling adventurous, okay? Bleaching your eyebrows slightly. You don't need to go full blonde eyebrows, but lightening your eyebrows just a little bit can help you have like a softer, prettier look. Be careful, of course, so that you don't end up with bleached brows entirely, unless that's what you want, because those can also look good. But just a little tip that's been especially trendy as of late. Another thing, laser hair removal for the girlies. And I don't think hair is a bad thing at all, okay? But if you regularly do shave, if you get laser hair removal, it's almost less so of an external glow up, though your skin will be smooth and nice and likely feel better than if you're shaving constantly. But it feels like a glow up. Like, when you just are hairless. Again, hair is not bad. But when you're hairless and you didn't have to do anything to get there, you just feel so clean. You're like, oh, one less thing off of my to-do list. It's great. I also forgot to mention that I actually use an at-home laser hair removal, and I highly recommend it. Like, it works so well, especially if you don't want to spend a bunch of money buying a ton of sessions to do it in office, or you don't have to, the time to go in office. And none of the things I've mentioned are sponsored, by the way, just things that I genuinely recommend and that work so well for me. The one that I use at home is called the Braun IPL Pro 5, I believe. And I will leave just the names of every product that I've mentioned throughout today's episode in the description box on Spotify. Something that is a bit lesser known, lymphatic drainage massages, both for your face and your body. For your face, facial massages, gua sha, I'm sure you guys have heard of that. It works. Is it going to give you the same level of facial change as like surgery? No, of course not. But it can really, really help make your face more lifted, plumper, especially if when you press around parts of your face, if you feel any kind of pain, that's probably indicative of you needing to do more facial massages and releasing the muscles in your face, because those can also build up and look a little bit like unattractive or stressed, or like you'll have more of a negative expression. So I highly recommend that. Lymphatic drainage for your face, it's essentially like kind of getting rid, for your face or body, getting rid of like water retention in your body. It's really slimming. I do this before events all the time. It really, really makes a difference. I've even seen people like almost get rid of their double chins just because a lot of it was like water retention. It's crazy. So if you ever want to treat yourself, I recommend that a lot. I wanted to quickly talk about like procedures, treatments, injectables, all of this stuff, but I think I should do like a whole episode on it. What I'll say for now is I don't think any of these things are like objectively bad or objectively good. So I think whatever treatment or thing you want to do really, really needs to be custom tailored to you, okay? Because not everything looks good on everyone, one. But two, please, please, please focus on the other, focus on the fundamentals and the basics first. I've seen people who maybe wanted to get something done, but then once they really got like their life and their health in order, maybe they lost a bunch of weight that they had been wanting to lose for years, all of a sudden they were like, wait, actually, I don't want to get anything done. Like, I think I look fine as I am. So please try not the natural remedies just because it's natural, but I mean, try to get your health in order first. See how much of an impact that can have on your external appearance. And then if you want to get anything cosmetic done, that's kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. Okay, but let's really cook that cake up first. Get all those layers in check. Okay. I think the only treatment that I can recommend for everyone is maybe microneedling, but you have to go to a good person. And they have to do like maybe not too thick needles if it's not good for your skin type. Again, the reason I don't like recommend particular procedures or treatments or anything is because it has to suit your skin type and your needs and your goals. And you need to find someone who also feels that way about whatever they might be willing to do to your beautiful little face, okay? If you guys want me to do an episode all about everything I know about treatments, plastic surgeries, all of this stuff, because there's so many things that they don't tell you. Like, there are certain treatments that are really popular nowadays that can actually melt the fat in your face. And you might think that's a good thing, but if you remove all the fat in your face, you start looking really old really quick. But these treatments are just really popular and everyone is raving about them short term without talking about the long term consequences. But anyways, I just wanted to touch on that because I'm sure maybe some of you guys might have had that in mind. All in all, the key to making any of the things that I suggest stick is routine and habit building. Make things frictionless and easy for you. A great example for me is I've started doing red light therapy Which is like a mask you put on your face and it has red light and it's really good for your skin. And the way that I make this easy for myself is I put the mask right beside my nightstand. Literally, it's right there. And every morning I wake up and it's the first thing I do, put it on my face. And because I've been doing so many other habits for so long, I'm able to habit stack this. So not only do I do 10 minutes of red light therapy, because my eyes are closed while the mask is on, I am meditating for 10 minutes at the same time. I put on a little meditation session and I do my red light therapy. And then as soon as I'm out, I wash up, do my skincare routine, maybe do a little prayer. I take my 10-minute morning walk. Like, I've stacked so many habits for my morning and for my evening, but now it feels like second nature. Like, it feels great, honestly. And that's what I'd recommend to you. Don't start habit stacking yet. That's something down the line, but just choose like one or two habits in the morning, set them up physically and mentally so that it's easy for you to do. And then once those feel like second nature, you can start stacking other habits on. That is really, really the key. You got to compound them habits. If you're more curious about habits, everybody knows the book Atomic Habits. I'm going to be honest, I didn't even read it. But I think they talk about a lot of the things that I mentioned. I think I might have read a summary, or I've just listened to other people talk about it enough that I don't even feel like I need to read the book. I might someday. We'll see. But so far, I'm doing okay with my habits, so I'm very proud and very happy. All right, that is all for today's episode. All in all, genuinely, health is wealth. Mental or physical, how well we are doing mentally or physically, it really shows on us. It shows on our faces. It shows on our skin. It shows in our bodies. It just shows. It shows in our attitudes as well. I'm sure we've all met people who, sure, they may not look like a model, but everybody is so attracted to them. They're so magnetic. They're so charismatic. And that's likely because of how positive their mental is, their outlook on life. It's probably because they look healthy. They look like they take care of themselves. It's not all just about this idea of, I need to have this feature. I need to fit society's exact beauty standard. I feel like that's a bit of a shallow way of looking at it. Sure, there are a lot of things that we can do to look like the trendy, whatever is considered beautiful nowadays. And yeah, let's tap into that because it's fun and might get us compliments. But the baseline of just being well put together, being healthy, having a good head on our shoulders, nothing beats that, in my opinion. Especially, I think, because a lot of things around us nowadays are really just dragging us down. Like on social media, we are bombarded with negativity and news and pressures and all other people's opinions. And around us, there are so many processed foods and products that aren't good for us and all of these things weighing us down. So when we see someone that's just well taken care of and looks good in that regard, oh my God, beautiful. And don't we want to be that? So let's do that one step at a time. 1% every day, one little thing every day can really make such a huge difference. And I believe in you, especially because you even took the time to listen all the way through. That means this is something that you really, really want. And that's huge. Like, really pat yourself on the back and be like, I did that. I took time aside in my day to try to learn about these new habits and things that I can do to better myself. That is step one, and that's kind of the biggest step. And then step two is trying to implement them. So I wanted to clap, but it might sound weird on the mic, but I'm gonna do it anyways. That's a little clap for you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope the things that I said helped. I want to leave you guys with a couple resources for the girls. If you're interested in doing your hair, your makeup, your style better, check out Dear Peachy on YouTube. I love their channel. It's really educational and really uplifting. And I've learned so much about hair, makeup, clothes, everything from that channel. I adore it. For guys and girls as well, there's a channel on YouTube called QOVES Studio. I kind of half recommend them only because, yes, you can learn a lot about glowing up and beauty, etc. But one of the things I don't really like is they have a bit of a strict definition of what's beautiful or what beauty is, and they're always about attaining like a certain kind of ideal. But for me, it's not about being the societal ideal, it's about being the most ideal version of myself. So I am sharing these resources with you guys, but also don't want you to kind of fall down the rabbit hole of looks maxing and just being worried about how I appear and whatever. We're human beings, not inanimate objects. How we look is a part of our existence, but it is not everything. Okay? Thank you so much. I'm gonna stop yapping now. Take care, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye!